Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with God Wants Your Heart, as we pick up in Matthew chapter 21, verse 28. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
This whole question of authority and John and so forth is in this next part here. He's now going to give two parables, and he's asking them in the parable to give him the answer. He's creating a situation. He says, now what's right? And he's letting them answer it, and it's not until they've answered the two that suddenly, whap, they realize, hey, that was us. He got us, you know, that he was directing that at us. What do you think? There was a certain man who had two sons, and he came to the first and he said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered him, said, I go, sir. But he did not. Now, whether of the two did the will of the Father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and harlots will go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness. He's coming back to John. And you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And you, when you had seen it, did not afterward repent that you might believe him. Now, the parable, of course, is directed against them. The publicans and the harlots were the son who said no to the kingdom of God. They were the ones who were living in sin and had turned their backs upon God. But they were the ones who later repented and went out and served. Whereas the Pharisees are those who rendered to God lip service. Oh, I'll go. Yes, sir. And they rendered to God only lip service, but did not really serve God. Only lip service. And so, which one really does the will of God? The one that repents and goes, or the one who just says he will go but doesn't? God doesn't really count lip service. The Bible says to rend your heart, not your garments unto the Lord. There's a lot of outward religion. God's interested in your heart. A lot of people go through outward motions of religion. The rending of their garments, the tearing of their garments was a sign of tremendous emotional feelings and all that a person may have. Rip my clothes, you know. Oh, I'm moved with emotion. Huh? God said, look, I don't want your emotional outbursts. I want your heart. I want really to be a matter of the changed life comes from the heart. Not just an outward observance, not just an outward show, not an outward form. I want it to be done in the heart. So when they answered him, you know, the one who went out, Jesus said, yes, and the publicans and harlots are going to go into the kingdom of God before you do. He's easy on them right now. When we get to chapter 23, he's going to really lay them low. He's building up to it. And then he points back to John, how that the publicans and harlots went out and repented and were baptized, but how they, even after they saw it and realized, would not even afterward repent. Now hear another parable. Going to hit him again. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it. Now, he's referring to the parable of the vineyard in Isaiah 5, which they all knew so very well. The minute he announces this vineyard, which was hedged, and the wine press and all, this is exactly what Isaiah describes of the nation of Israel, how God planted the vineyard. And he came at time to gather the fruit, and all there was wild grapes. And how he just let the vineyard go. And they knew that this vineyard was representative of the nation Israel. Now another parable. This householder which planted a vineyard, hedged it round about, digged a winepress in it, built the tower, and led it out to husbandmen and went to a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruit of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again he said unto the other servants, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and we will seize the inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Now when the Lord therefore of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those husbandmen? And they said unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and let out the vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. They again trapped themselves. For Jesus said, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? Now he's taking them back actually to the Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, same psalm. The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God, and this is the prophecy against the nation Israel, the religious leaders, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall upon this stone, the stone which was set of naught at the builders, or Jesus Christ, shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they then perceived that he was speaking of them, and they sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. So Jesus is predicting to them that the kingdom will be taken from them, and so quickly it was. And the gospel was preached first to the Jews. But with their rejection, the gospel came to the Gentiles. And of course, the main thing that God is seeking is fruit. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bringeth forth fruit, he purges it that it might bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word. Abide in me, let my words abide in you, that you may bring forth much fruit, for herein is my Father glorified. So the Lord's desire is that we bring forth fruit unto him. The natural vine did not do it. So those husbandmen were cast forth from the vineyard, and he gives the vineyard, the kingdom, to others who will bring forth fruit for him. And there's so much to be said concerning the stone which was set of naught of the builders. If you fall on it, you will be broken. But if he falls on you, then he'll grind you to powder. You're going to have one of two relationships to Jesus Christ, either as your Lord and Savior or as your judge. If you fall upon him in repentance, you will be broken, true, but you'll come into a new, full, rich life. If he is your judge, you'll be ground to powder. The two aspects, the two faces of Christ by which people will face him. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables. Now, he's still there, and he's laying them on these parables. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. There was, first of all, those who were bidden to the wedding. His son is getting married, and his servants were sent to those that were bidden, they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took the servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was angry. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how is it that you came in not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are choice. Now, herein is a very descriptive parable, which is prophetic in its nature, for the wedding feast of the Son. First of all, the servants sent to those that were bidden, the guests, and they refused to come. The gospel was first brought by Jesus Christ to the Jews. They refused it. Now the wedding is all set. Everything is ready. The sacrifice has been made. Now the servants are to go out and to bid them come. But they began to go to their farm and to merchandise. And this is the preaching by the apostles to the Jews after the death of Jesus, but still their refusal to come. And then the Lord commanded that they go. Now, first of all, the king was angry at those bidden guests, and he sent his armies, and they destroyed them and burned the city. This, of course, is what happened when Titus came and burned the city of Jerusalem and destroyed the people, because they refused to come. Thus the judgment of God through Titus. And Jesus is predicting that particular event, the burning of the city of Jerusalem. When I was there, I was taken in some archaeological digs where this man has dug down under his house through several centuries, really, of archaeological artifacts. And partway down, there's a layer of ash about 6 inches thick, which is the ash from the burning of the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD by Titus. And it's quite remarkable to look at that layer of ashes and to realize, you know, what it does represent. Now, Jesus predicted that, the burning of the city. And then send them out to the highways and byways, out unto the Gentiles, bid them all, whoever, to come in. And so the gospel coming to us. Now, even though we are bidden to come to the feast, it is necessary that we have on the wedding garments. It's necessary that we be clothed in the righteousness which is of Christ through faith. There are some who are trying to come without the proper clothing. There are some who have not put on that righteousness through faith of Christ, but are trying to come in their own righteousness or by their own efforts or by their own good works. They'll never make it when the king makes the examination of the guest. If you're not clothed in that robe of righteousness through the faith of Christ, you will be cast out. That's just a plain, straight warning of the Lord. Then the Pharisees took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians. Now, they said unto him, Master, we know that thou art true. You teach the way of God in truth. Neither do you care for any man. That is, you're not a respecter of men, nor do you regard the person of men. You know, you don't bow and scrape to the rich. And all. I mean, you're no respecter of people's persons. We know that what you say is truth. You're a man of truth. You're a straight shooter. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to give tribute or pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness. And he said, why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? They figured that the question, and it was a very sharp and shrewd question. If Jesus said, yes, it is lawful to pay tribute to Caesar, then all of the Jews would have hated him. They would have turned from him. They said he's a traitor. He's a collaborator with the Romans. And they would have turned against him. You remember, they had said to Jesus earlier, We are not under bondage to any man. I mean, they really didn't consider themselves as slaves of Rome. Even though they were subject to Rome, they didn't consider it. And they hated paying those taxes. If Jesus said, no, it is not lawful, then they would have gone right on down and reported him to the Roman officials and had him arrested and imprisoned for advocating a tax revolt. So Jesus, recognizing that they were trying to trap him and that it's a trick, he said, why are you trying to trap me, you hypocrites? He said, give me a coin, one of your tribute money. And so they brought him a denarius. And he said unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And he no doubt held it up and showed them that inscription of Caesar that was on the coin. They said unto him, Caesar's. He flipped it back and he said to them, then render therefore to Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. When they heard these words, they marveled. And they left him and went their way. Now, hey, got out of that one. Now, the same day, there came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. They do not believe in the resurrection, angels, spirits. They were the materialists, the rationalists of their day. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses said if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers, and the first, when he had married a wife, died and did not have any children. And he left his wife to his brother, but likewise the second also, and the third, and all the way to the seventh, and last of all the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. And, of course, they thought that they were making the idea of the resurrection seem ludicrous, as there are those even today who, not understanding the resurrection, erring because they do not know the scriptures of the power of God, seem and try to make the resurrection seem ludicrous. For instance, if you've had a heart transplant, in the resurrection, you're both Christians. Which body does the heart go with? Or, there have been people buried on the prairies whose bodies have returned to dust. The chemicals went back into the soil. And the grass roots went down and drew those chemicals out of the soil that were once a part of another person's body. And the cow ate the grass with these chemicals, which were a part of someone else's body. And you drank the milk that came from the cow and assimilated some of those same chemicals that were once a part of someone else's body. So in the resurrection, which body do these chemicals go in? And they tried to make the idea of the resurrection seem ludicrous. That was the whole idea here, making the resurrection of the dead seem to be a ludicrous thing. And Jesus said, you err because you don't know the scriptures. And how many people err because they don't know the scriptures? And with them, they did not know the power of God. For in the resurrection, number one, as far as the cows and transplanted hearts and all, Paul said, some of you will say, how are the dead raised and with what body do they come? And he said, don't you realize that when you plant a seed into the ground, all you plant is a bare grain and God gives it a body that pleases him? Actually, so that that which you plant is not that which comes out of the ground, because all you plant is a bare grain. God gives it a body as pleases him. We'll have new bodies. We know that when this earthly tent, our tabernacle, the body in which we live is dissolved, we have a building of God not made with hands eternal in the heavens. But people don't know the scriptures, and so they make all kinds of hypothetical problems. Now, they were doing the same thing. Jesus said, "For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." Now, the purpose, of course, of marrying is to establish a good, secure environment in which to raise the children. That's God's purpose for marriage, to bring two lives together in love in order that they might provide a good, healthy environment for the children to grow up, an environment that is secure and an environment that is filled with love. Inasmuch as we will not be having children in heaven, we will be as the angels who neither marry nor are given in marriage. Just what we will be like, the Lord has left a few surprises for us. And we really don't know. Anything that we offer would be sheer speculation, and that's worth it.
Return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Matthew on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Matthew 21 through 22 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you and strengthen you for this week. May the anointing of God's Holy Spirit rest upon your life. And through His beauty, may your life shine forth. May God cause the fullness of His Spirit to rest upon you. And may your life be a strong testimony and a witness to those around of the grace and the love of our Lord. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Come along on an exciting adventure as Pastor Chuck reads the story of the Ten Commandments to children.
God wants us to keep the Ten Commandments, but we just can't do it. So Jesus came and did it for us.
Featuring Pastor Ken Graves as the voice of God.
You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. Honor your father and your mother.
And Pastor Pancho Juarez as the voice of Moses.
Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today.
And so many others.
No, I will not let God's people go.
Oh no! Here comes the water!
Go back to Egypt. Tell Pharaoh to release my people.
To order the story of the Ten Commandments book by Pastor Chuck, which comes with the audio CD as a gift, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD. Or to see a sneak preview of the book, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.